I'm at the distillery. It's in Bankside SE1 in London, and I'm with Lee Connolly.
Hi, mate. Hello. Me, I'm Lee Connolly.
We last spoke, or first spoke, December 2016, I think it was, wasn't it? Do you remember that interview, and where were you at the time as an individual, or as what you call yourself, which is Skinny Jean Gardner?
I think it was just the beginning of almost a breakup of Skinny Jean Gardeners. And I think literally 2 days before I chatted to you on the podcast, it's going to make it sound like Sodshow saved my life sort of thing. Thank you for that.
All right, we're being served coffee and gin and craft beer for Lee.
Cheers, thank you.
Yeah, it was also ambient. It's like modern jazz music on in the background, and there's people coming and going, so I hope it's not too noisy for you. It should be okay.
This is your round, right?
Yeah.
So 2016, 2 days before, I was thinking about not doing Skinny Jean Gardeners anymore, and then obviously got a call from you. We had the chat, and so Skinny Jean Gardener was born.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sodshow Garden Podcast.
Were you at a tough place as an individual where you have to turn around and say, right, that's the end of that? You know, like whether you're a footballer at 33 years of age, sometimes you have to hang up the boots, or whether you... Let's say maybe a better example is that you got an injury at 26 years of age, but you have to make that call to let it go or to continue. Did you find that a tough point in your life?
Yeah, I think even now it's tough for me, because me and my brother did something which was incredible. We began something which changed both our lives, and I felt like this was all going to disappear. Like, for me also personally, for both of us, it brought us out of our shells. We managed to be more confident about stuff. We got to do something we really enjoyed, and then all of a sudden we weren't going to do it. So it was up to me whether I was going to continue that, and luckily I did.
Well, for those who aren't aware and who haven't heard the 2016 interview with you, how good did it get? What was the peak, I guess?
So literally just before we chatted on the Sodshow, so we were on the BBC for a bit, we started getting a lot of brand work, which was amazing. And we started doing more shows, and yeah, it was all going quite well. And I mean, it never broke up on bad terms. It's just something that Dale never wanted to continue, and he had a family and I had a family, and you know, you have to choose what you want to do at the end of the day.
Did you feel like rock stardom had hit you for a bit?
Everyone's a rock star in their own little minds. But, you know, I think so. I think we were like, this is pretty cool, this is all going well. But, yeah. So literally, I had Christmas to think about whether I was going to continue it on my own. And it was hard to begin with, but especially for our relationship as brothers, because you were doing something really cool together and all of a sudden you're not seeing each other as much. And, yeah, so there's a lot to, like, balance and sort out.
If you look at where you were then and where you are now, let's say a year and a half, call it 2 years later, whatever the case may be, do you look back and wish that you had a little bit of that still, or are you, no, Peter, that was then, this is now, this is the new chapter?
I think you're always going to have it. Even now I'm always saying we, like, still thinking that Dale was part of it and stuff like that. And but it's all about confidence. I think we spoke about it before, like, yeah, confidence in what you do and, yeah, what you put out there. Like, before, like, me and Dale always said when we first started off in the whole garden industry, we sort of chucked into it a bit with the Blue Peter stuff, and everyone thought we were, like, experts, where no one's really an expert. Everyone's learning as they go along. Everyone's an expert in their own right. And we were sort of pretending back then. And also that was a good thing when we were just as Skinny Jean Gardeners finished, because we were just getting confident about what we do and happy that if you don't know the answer, that's absolutely fine. There's going to be someone else that can help that out. So I've continued that throughout the whole Skinny Jean Gardener time as well, which is good.
So from doing the TV thing, and I guess the rewards or the things that come with that, which, as you rightly said, where you get asked to do the talks and the garden shows and that kind of stuff, where is Lee Connolly now from a work perspective and as an individual?
Now I'm on my own, obviously, which is a little bit a little bit sad, mate, but I've got you and I, so that's always good. Yeah, but now I know exactly what direction. It's like sometimes you feel a little bit lost, especially the first few months. Obviously I had to try and work out what Skinny Jean Gardener was going to be about and continue the whole family sort of thing, which is my main aim, to get families and kids into gardening. It always has been, both even when me and Dale, you know, it'd be nice to go back on TV, wouldn't it? But concentrating on other stuff now.
You've seen both sides of the TV screen, and in some cases, well, what do they say? Luck is hard work and being in the right place, but everybody wants their 15 minutes of fame, in a sense. Do you think you've had yours, and this is now where, I guess by necessity, it has to go in order to keep the business or the brand or whatever you call that that represents Lee Connolly best? Do you think that's just where it has to go, or is it a case of where it's going? Because, like, to be fair, everybody wants to be famous, inverted commas.
Yeah, well, everyone is famous nowadays. Everyone's, I don't know many people that haven't been on TV. Everyone's got TV in their Twitter bios nowadays, so it's like, it is how it is. But yeah, I think, I mean, TV is, it's good to be on. I mean, you've got a massive team of people around you, and it's nice. But I like working with smaller companies and collaborating with people, and it's a lot more fun rather than just turning up, being on TV, and then that's it for the day.
So you did the Gardener's World live show. I know we had them on. You've got the podcast is obviously on the go. What else is there to it?
I do a lot more work with brands now, which is a lot more fun, and managed to, this, the whole message of getting the gardener message out there is to different people, not just gardeners. So I feel like sometimes we're all putting a message out there saying we want people to get involved in gardening, but it's all towards just people that are already into gardening. So it's nice to get it out there to people that might just not even think, like, a lot of people think gardening is difficult, and I think we've talked about this before, and that a lot of time has to go into it, and it doesn't have to be like that. If you just want to just grow something in a pot, then that's gardening. That's a start. It's putting a different spin on it, I think. It's making it interesting for people that aren't going to watch Gardener's World.
Yeah, okay. Well, pardon my expletive here, but is that just not like a... I don't mean to say it's a crock of shit, but at the same token, the amount of times I've heard, just want to get young people gardening, and I've discussed that before on the episode with the Hardy Plant Society, and I'm saying in my head, you know, come on, seriously, you've got an electricity bill to pay, and the fact that you're using the tag on the end of it is maybe what's getting you in the press and the media and getting the name out there. But the only thing that differs with you is you didn't intentionally set out for a career in horticulture. Mm-hmm. So is there a bit of truth in both, or do you stick by that, the getting people and families into gardening?
That's what I enjoy doing. That's why I enjoy speaking to kids and getting them gardening. And, well, let's be honest, gardening media can be pretty, I'm just going to say it, pretty boring, basically. And everyone in the industry is saying, need to get more people involved, want to get people to the garden centres buying plants who might not usually, and they'll sit there and say it, and then the next minute just go back to, enough, there's nothing, no one's chased. It's like Blockbuster. Blockbuster just sold DVDs, and look what happened to them. They didn't go onto the internet, they didn't progress, they didn't move forwards.
Let me take a different angle on this, because, again, as previously discussed on that Hardy Plant Society interview, not to keep harping on about it, but the whole thing was the demise and equally the successes of being, on one hand, a member of a garden society, but also the closure and failures of garden societies in total, and where they stand today. And that was the discussion, and Peter played a little bit devil's advocate, but it's a really interesting one. But one of the points that I made in that was, when people say we want to get young, or inverted commas, newer people into horticulture, the message is usually broadcast in the Telegraph newspaper, for example, in brackets, or and on BBC Radio 4, of which the demograph is not the same as that of the Sod Show. So I do scratch my head and say, not so much why don't you have Monty Don on the Sod Show, or a variance of. I understand why, but my head then, on the other hand, says, but the non-converted isn't tuning into the Telegraph or the Radio 4s of this world. Again, no offence to either, I'm a big fan of, but I'm not 17, 18, and I was that geeky kid down the back of the garden goofing around with plants. You seem to have a fresh set of eyes on an industry, in a sense, because you weren't, I won't say born into it, but like I was born with a plant in my cradle rather than a suitor, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we wouldn't be sitting here listening to the Sod Show if we weren't all gardeners. If I wasn't a gardener, and I'm not knocking it, I'd enjoy watching Gardeners World. I'd enjoy listening to other podcasts about gardening. But that's because I'm in the garden industry. My wife wouldn't listen to it. She's not into gardening. Plus, she hears me going about it non-stop. My friends, whether they listen or not, they mainly don't, because they're not into gardening, and it's getting that to them, people, mainly, and just putting another spin on it. I know that my friends won't sit and watch Gardeners World on Friday because it's just boring to them. To them, because they're not in the industry.
Let me go at this a different way. Why is the Sod Show unsponsored? Why isn't the Lee Connollys of this world not on a larger stage or podium? Why isn't Peter Donegan /Sod Show doing a Radio 4 show, and then I become Radio 2 or Radio 1 or a variance of, which is essentially there's a new face in town, we're going to freshen things up. The old model, sure, it's got its listenership, no question about it. And again, I'm not knocking anybody, but why isn't it, sorry lads, we've got to open the curtains and brighten the place up. And I'm not saying it's still horticulture,
yeah,
in a sense, but it's not changed in all of the years I've been involved in it, and I've been listening to GQT since I was 6 years of age. Again, for those of you listening at home, I apologise, but I see both sides of it. But I also don't understand why it won't ever change, and it won't, as far as I'm concerned.
It's playing it safe. It's what people know, and until something happens to the, it's going to get that way. I feel like in the future, it's going to get to a point where people are going to have to then start looking at other ways of getting the message out there. And sometimes it's going to be too late for some people, because, you know, they're not aiming towards a new target audience. Everyone gets into gardening mainly when they buy a house. And it's the people before that you want to get into gardening, I think. I feel like that's, for businesses, I feel like they're the sort of people, the 20-somethings, that they should be aiming at. Because then they'll start coming back to, when they get that house, they'll say, oh, I used to go to that garden centre when I was younger. I'm going to go there. Does that make sense, or was that a little bit confused what I just said?
No, it does. And to be fair, the first show of 2018 with Ian Twaits of the Cactus and Succulent Society, again, loosely based around gardening societies. And this ends, scroll down through your iTunes or your Stitcher provider, your podcast provider, and go back and play that one. And he actually gets into that and says a little bit more in depth what you just said, which is there is essentially a period of time where, be it for family or work or career or living in London or smaller places or houses, you just don't do that thing. But when your kids grow up and then do one, no offence, you tend to go back into gardening.
Yep.
But all of the stats on the Sod Show, tell me that the Sod Show books the trend for what most people would perceive, which is that about, I think it's 59% or 59 to 63% are under 44 years of age of listeners, mainly UK and US.
Yep.
Sorry, between 25 and 44. I'm not slagging myself here. Well, I possibly am, but I don't ever see Joe Wiley ringing me up saying, "Hey, Pete, you're the new host of the show." Is that a fair appraisal without shifting the interview over from you to me, but not to slag you off, myself off?
No, well, I mean, you've got the Don, you've got Titch Marsh, and everyone loves them. Everyone in the gun industry loves them, which rightly so, they're great, blah, 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 blah. But they're playing it safe. The whole media industry is playing it safe by having them being the front people. It needs to have people like the Donegan going about mixing up a little bit, making it fun. And then that's going to bring another audience in into it.
Would you agree then with the statement that on an extreme of safe to non-safe, at one end of the scale, you've got Monty and Alan, and again, rightly so, I agree with you there, and love them dearly. And then in the middle, let's say, of the heading from safe to dangerous, you've got maybe the Sod Show and Peter. And at the far end of the scale, you've got Lee Connolly. Would that be a fair appraisal?
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair, mate, yeah. But like I say, it's Blockbuster situation. I keep going back to that reference about Blockbuster. Do you know who Blockbuster are, by the way?
Well, not anymore.
No. But if you play it safe for too long, then it's going to could come crashing down.
Let me go back to that word. I say dangerous. It's still horticulture, so it's never really, inverted commas, that dangerous.
No.
Yet you still haven't got the call, and I'm still an unsponsored, self-funded, inverted commas, very successful podcast. And whether I'm up for the Garden Media Guild Awards, finalists listed on the big board alongside the BBC or not. No, but my point is that it's not changed anything.
No.
I can go and do the FA Cup final, I'm still the Sod Show, and that's where you're staying.
Yeah. I think when we start thinking about it like that, then it's always going to be like that. If there ain't people out there knocking down doors, then it's going to stay like that, isn't it?
I have to give you credit, because on one hand, I think you're a cheeky little pup, as my mom might have called me at some stages of my life. But your podcast, and the one thing that I remember when you weren't sponsored was you did the fake sponsor intro. Do you want to explain that for those who aren't aware?
Well, yeah, basically, obviously I started a podcast, which is pretty cool. I enjoy doing it. But the sponsor piece, I mean, we want to earn a little bit of money from it, but had little jingles, mate. I miss them. Do you want to do them? You can have that. You can have that idea. If he puts it on, if he starts putting adverts on this show, then you'll know that was my idea.
We were chatting last night, and I was saying to you, again, by way of compliment to you, I'm not great at it, but you're pretty good at it. You're good at either A, knocking on doors, or B, I won't say being in the right place in the right time, because that's just happened then too many times with you. You seem to be very, very good at knocking on doors and having them answered and getting the right answer, or answering from the right person, or at least that's how it appears from this side. As a guy who's, I should add, who's not great at knocking on doors and is quite content sitting down the back of the garden either at 6 years of age or now a little bit more mature, inverted commas and brackets, possibly not, but with it, let's be blunt about it, a non-sponsored podcast. You've done it and I haven't, and I have to applaud you for that.
It's about confidence. It's not just about saying, "Hey, look at me, yo guys." It's being confident that I've got a message, I know what I'm about, and I'm happy with that. I always get asked, "Oh, why don't you go and do some courses? Why don't you go and do some RHS courses?" Which would be amazing. But it's going back to the point where little Jimmy is sitting at home, which is taking a little bit of your is sitting at home, isn't into gardening, or he's got a job. He's a little bit bigger than little Jimmy, but he's got a job, he's going to work, he wants to do a bit of gardening, he's not got time to go on an IHS course. He just wants to like dip his finger in some soil and just have some fun. And if I went along and started doing courses and started coming out with all sorts of Latin long words, which I still don't understand, but we won't go into that.
No.
then yeah, that would sort of break that sort of link with my audience. And yeah,
I'll back that up by saying this. When I started building gardens, I never wanted to go to Chelsea because I was afraid that I would, how do I say it, I'd become mature of the mind. Mm-hmm. My brain would adult up and I wouldn't be, not dangerous, but I wouldn't be as daring. I'd figure out how to be sensible. And that's not what I wanted to be. I wanted to enjoy it. And if I got a medal, then that was grand.
Yeah.
And we'll disagree or agree to disagree on the use of botanical, because I personally love it. It's easy for me to say without getting too big-headed about it. But to the maturity thing, does sum up what you're trying to say?
Yeah, I think so. I know what you're saying. Like, just quickly hitting on the botanical Latin part.
Yeah.
My issue is the link between... So when I first started gardening, started seeing all these Latin words, had I not wanted to be in the industry and do what I do now, that would have scared me away from gardening totally. That's my issue with it, with the Latin side.
Whereas from my side, if I want to build a show garden or a normal garden with a budget of six figures, mm-hmm. as Donegan Landscaping, which is my inverted commas real job, but also what I love doing, I can't just turn around and say I want a lime tree. It doesn't work that way. Or I want, you know, a lime tree that looks like that. It has to be pedantic and specific. And Botanical Latin makes it that I want Donegan, Peter, that height, that width, that size, that extremely good-looking fella over there, specifically him, rather than I want a Donegan,
yeah.
to put it in context.
I'm not knocking Latin. But what I'm saying is it's very important in the industry, but if you've got a TV program or a podcast where you're just speeding out Latin words, anyone that just pops along and thinks, "Whoa, I might try a bit of gardening, let me just watch this, let me just listen to this," whoa, I've got no idea what they're saying, and that would scare them away from being in gardening.
Okay.
Do you think?
Yeah, well, I can't argue with it on that point of view. I think if you're going to grow a few tomatoes on your windowsill, then just go and pick up a packet of seeds in your garden centre. However, if you're going to go into show garden building, then you need to be extremely specific about what you're doing. And so, yeah, it has its place. But at an entry level, and I agree with you that it is, stick your finger in the compost, get your dress dirty, throw a couple of seeds down, see what happens. Or fail miserably, as I would advise everybody, and learn.
That's it, but I mean, failure is... Everyone fails, you know what I mean? Like, that's a little bit what I don't understand as well, where no one ever shows their failures, whereas everyone has to fail a little bit. Like, when everyone starts gardening, you're going to start growing a plant. It's going to die, probably. But you got to learn from it. I think it's good to show that. Good to show that side of things.
When I give garden talks, I've always said that the reason I know why you shouldn't do that is because I've done it.
Yeah.
And in college, I would have done it incorrectly anyway, by way of a test. So you would do it in that compost mix. You would do it in that compost mix. And when the lecturer would say to me, "It won't grow in that one," I would do it in that one anyway, just to see what would happen. And I still do that to this day, for no apparent reason. Let's go forward on this. If I gave you a magic wand and I said Lee Connolly, skinny jean gardener, could be X in 1 year's time, so 2 years prox, a year and a half since we last spoke, recorded, where would you, not where do you see yourself, but where would you like to be in an ideal world?
That is a good question, actually. I'd like to be producing the show, not necessarily on TV, but online, which is for everyone, not just for gardeners. That's my main aim, I think. But also, this is going to sound ridiculous, really, but it's going to sound like proper pompous. But I don't think I just want it just to be, I'm Lee Connolly, I'm going to be massive, I'm going to be... Mate, I think we all, as a garden community, should be able to push it outwards. I think everyone... So in papers and stuff like that, it always says, oh, Skinny Jean Gardener is here to make gardening cool. Well, I don't need to make gardening cool. Gardening is already cool. It's just telling people about it in a different way.
Yeah. Sorry, there was a bit of a pause there. It was for no apparent reason. I was listening to Lee talking a bit like maybe the way you're listening to this being replayed, which is to really enjoy it. It's quite a privileged position I'm in when I consider who I've met and spoke to this year already. You know, when you close your eyes and it might be Kate Bush singing Wuthering Heights, if you know that story, and I love that book, and I just get carried away with it sometimes. Not a massive Kate Bush fan, but I love that song, and I just love that story. What's 2018 hold for you?
I'd probably get a Kate Bush album, you know. nice little tour this year, doing some garden talks, which was a lot of fun. Like getting out there. I mean, sitting in a studio in massive inverted commas, chatting away to yourself, making videos. You can go a bit stir crazy. Sometimes a missus walks past and I think I'm going a bit crazy inside this little room. So going out to these shows, meeting people like you, obviously. It's a bit of escapism, which is nice.
That's a funny thing, though, because me and Ian Twaits, I've mentioned him already now, that's twice.
You like him, didn't you?
Me and Ian got on very well together. My joke with Ian was we spend a bit of time on the road together. Me and you seem to do a little bit something similar. We end up at a lot of the same gigs. You're now my...
Green buddy, yeah, I know, yeah. Yeah, well, that's also the thing. Obviously, I used to have Dale in tow. And for me, you're the new Dale, yeah. I've just got to get Skinny Jeans for you, that's all. But let's just quickly, when I was younger, I was not a very confident person. And up until the age of 25, I couldn't even answer my house phone. Well, I just couldn't answer it because I was just too scared. So this whole gardening thing, not only do I enjoy doing the whole gardening thing, but it's brought me out of my shell. Some might say too much, but... gets me talking to people, gets me meeting new friends. You know, we would have never met. Some may say that was probably be a good thing.
Is that a good way to finish off the podcast? Now I'm joking. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. No, I'm joking. No, but we do. And I'll be honest with you. I think I was asked at the perennial party. In January, I was asked, what do I get from the Sod Show? I know what was actually meant or intended in the question was, what do you get as in monetarily speaking, or what do you derive from it? And my answer was, I'm standing in the Flamingo Room upstairs in O'Neill's in Soho, having a pint of Guinness talking to you.
Yeah.
And I genuinely meant that that's good enough for me. I don't think they got what I was getting at. And when I think of the people in my life, some gone, some not, sounds like the start of a Beatles song. And in conversation with Paul Hervey Brooks in his interview about Chelsea, you know, Paul made the comment that the one thing that you can't buy is time, and time spent with people is something quite brilliant, to be fair. And that's not to get all poetic about it, and I'll take that.
Look, we're not in the garden industry to make millions, are we? We're here because we enjoy what we do and we enjoy the people we chat to. Like, talking about the podcast thing, we get to talk to people. You get to talk to some amazing people, like myself, obviously, on the podcast, and they become friends. And you find out stories about people, and it's incredible, really. But, you know, we're all one big, happy family.
Yeah, well, I'm one of eight children. Mam used to say we were one big happy family. it was like a scene from The Simpsons in the background with the house on fire and we're all boxing the head off each other. I jest in saying that. Sorry, Dad. I know you don't listen, but if you do, anyway. Lee Connolly, always a pleasure to spend time in your company. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you too, man. I feel I'm welling up a little bit. I feel like this ain't going to be it, is it? I will be back, but I will come on the show again, right?
We have to queue to a sponsor's advert just now. I'm joking. For those of you listening at home, thank you so much for tuning in. Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/sideshow, sideshow.com. I always think I've said that twice. Talk to you next week. Take care. Safe home. Salon. Bye bye.